Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The psalm for this evening, Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous songs and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. We continue with our hymn. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Again from the prophet Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, Isaiah writes this. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant and the remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush and from Elam, from Shinar and from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this evening from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this word tonight. We thank you for the hope and the promise of our Emmanuel, God with us, coming into our world to rescue us. Strengthen us now by the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was about an eighth grader. I'd been singing a little bit in church like boys do, reluctantly and forced into it by my mother. And we had a choir director at that time in the church who must have gone to the pastor and said, he should sing a solo. Now, you know, if they would have asked me, I would have said no. But the pastor came to me and said, you should sing for Advent. And I said, okay, out of guilt and fear and all those things. And then my mom took me to the choir director's house for practice, which scared me to death anyway. So I walk in and I meet her, and we sit down by the piano, and I'm prepared for a half an hour of singing, O Come, Emmanuel. And she never sat at the bench. She said to me words that were quite wise. She said, you can't sing a song you don't understand, and you shouldn't sing a song you don't believe in. So for the first half an hour, for the whole evening, we walked through O Come, Emmanuel, every verse and what it meant. Now, it was not my favorite hymn before that, and it certainly probably isn't my favorite now, but it is in the top 10 because of what it promises and the hope we have tonight. The very first verse, as she went through it with me, draws us back into the hope that we need because of the brokenness of the world we live in. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Those words right there, ransom and captive, draw us into the fact that we are not free, that the world around us captivates us, sin and death holds us, and we need to be freed from those things. Our cry is not a cry for social justice. It's not a cry from the government. It's not a cry from welfare. It is a cry to the one that Isaiah preaches of and points us to, Emmanuel, Mary's son. Oh, come, come, Emmanuel, and ransom us from this captive, this captivity of sin and death that we live in. Rescue us, ransom us, who are the new Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Now, those words were powerful enough a long time ago when I sat with her, even more powerful for us, even more meaning for us now in light of the last 9 months of COVID. Lonely, exile, separated, isolated, social distanced, not able to do the things that we want, faces covered so that we cannot see smiles, captive and lonely and fearful in the world we live in. It is an increasing event when people call me now and say, Pastor, pray for my who has COVID and is in the hospital on a respirator. Come, Emmanuel, and rescue us, your captive Israel, in a world of sin and death, as we mourn and as we lament our loneliness, our isolation. Until the Son of God appears, we have that cry. Until the Son of God stands again upon the earth, this is our song. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom us. Take us from this world of sin and death and bring us to that home with you of peace and forgiveness. A world with no COVID, a world with no isolation, a world in no captivity from sin and death and darkness, because the Son of Man has come into the world and died and risen again for us. He is our salvation. He is God with us. He is our Emmanuel, who has come and will come again. Would you sing with me the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel? My music teacher walked me through all of the verses, and I remember the first verse, and I remember the fourth verse quite clearly. O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, which made absolutely no sense. A branch? A tree? What does that mean? Free them from Satan's tyranny. Now we're beginning to make sense. Free us from this tyranny that Satan has us in. But what does it mean? The branch of Jesse's tree. For four generations, David's family line had been on the throne. And the Assyrian government came in, and what looked like a sure monarchy for David and his family was now cut and destroyed as the nations of Israel were destroyed and dispersed. It looked like the line of David was gone. The tree was cut down. It was dead. There was no branch. There was nothing to go forward. But God in his word had promised otherwise. He promised us through the prophet Isaiah that there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. I don't know if you've ever cut down a bur oak tree in the Black Hills. But a bur oak tree, it isn't a real strong tree, and they don't grow to be a beautiful tree. And then when you cut them down and you think you have it out of your yard, out from the stump, in a year comes a shoot. And it continues to grow. That's the picture that Isaiah brings. The picture of a strong and mighty tree that was cut down, and it looked like there was no hope, there was no promise, there was nothing to carry it on, and all is sure doom and sadness. And out of the tree, out of the root and the cut down stump, out of the brokenness and the hopelessness, comes hope, a shoot, a branch from Jesse. Jesse had eight sons, and if you remember the story, when they came to anoint one of those sons as king, they went through seven, and the prophet said, no, not that one. It was the last one, the hopeless one, the runt, the little one, the one that was still at home and not a man. He was the one, the small one, the underestimated one, that would grow to be the king of Israel. And his life was stellar. If you like Jerry Springer, his life was a life of being the one that God said, he's a man after my own heart. And yet David was a murderer and an idolater. David knew his sin, and he confessed that clearly in Psalm 51. Confessed his sin before his father, and that's what made him a man after God's own heart. That he knew his sin, he knew his brokenness, and he confessed that. And as king, he never led Israel astray. He never led them to false gods. His hope was in the God that had redeemed him, the God that he knew. O come, thou Lord, excuse me, O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free them from Satan's tyranny. And that would be through the stump and the shoot and the son, David. And out of David's line would come one whose name was Joseph, and another out of his family line that would be named Mary. And our Lord would choose to bring into our world our Savior, our Emmanuel, through this branch. Through this small branch that no one thought would grow, our Lord would bring us Emmanuel. And we read that verse and then we sing the chorus. Rejoice! Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And that is our hope. That in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of looking at the future and not seeing any way out of this, looking at our lives and our sinfulness and our brokenness, the promise of this hymn and the promise of Isaiah is clear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. We sing the fourth verse. This is the darkest time of the year we live in. In just a few days, we will have the shortest amount of daylight in our year. Darkness and stress and all the things of our world that continue to want to pull our hope from us. It is a very important reason. There is a very important reason for us to sing this hymn in Advent, because we need hope and we need promise. And we need to be pointed to the sure and certain resurrection of our Savior and His returning once again on this earth to take us home to be with Him. The very last verse does nothing more than lifts our eyes so that we see our Savior and rejoice in the promises that all of the Old Testament points to. The promises that come when God came into our world and tabernacled among us, taking on our human flesh and blood, living in our mess and taking our sin and then restoring us and making us holy and righteous by His death and His blood, given for you so that you are also righteous and holy by what Jesus has done. The last verse, O come thou dayspring from on high and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice. The holidays are hard for a lot of families. The holidays are hard for a lot of reason, dysfunction and all the things that go on. The holidays are hard when we have a holiday alone, without the one we love, separated by death, but only for a moment, only for the time until our Lord keeps His promise and either takes us or stands again upon the earth, and we will be there with those who have died in faith. And if you think in Advent this is rejoicing, wait until that first day in heaven with the Lamb on the throne and those who have died in faith. These words, they will reverberate from the heavens. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And that is our hope tonight and always. We sing the sixth verse. was scared to death of my music teacher. I didn't know what to expect when she asked me to come. She asked me to sing first and then asked me to come and practice. I don't remember singing the song, but I remember hearing the words that she taught me as we looked at the hymn. Her advice was good. We should never sing a hymn that we don't understand, so take your hymnal home and study. Read the hymns. Look at the message. Look at the hope and the rejoicing as they point us to our Savior. They point us to our hope. They point us to our Emmanuel, who will come again, and we will rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.